that is something that needs to be addressed. And we need to see what God's Word says about it tonight and how we as Christians ought to approach the subject of vengeance. Proverbs chapter 24 and verse number 29 says this. Say not, I will do so to him as he hath done to me. I will render to the man according to his work. The Bible says, don't say that. Don't say that I'm going to do to him what he's done to me. The Bible says, don't say that whatever work he renders toward me, well, if it's a good work, I'm going to render back good to him. If it's a bad work, I'm going to render back to him. Don't even say that. You don't think it. You don't say that. Because when you do, you're heading down the road of vengeance. Let's bow our head and close our eyes tonight. Brother Steve Dowdy, would you please pray for the message? Yes. Help us. Help them, Lord. Yes. Amen. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Amen. Amen. The instructions I just read to you tonight out of the book of Proverbs. Here, chapter 24, verse number 29, that is exactly opposite of what the world says. The world says it more like this. You don't have to take that. You talk hateful to me, I'm going to talk hateful to you. You cuss me out, I'm going to cuss you out. You stole from me, I'm going to steal from you. You cheated me, I'm going to cheat you. I'm going to do just what you've done to me. The world says, you hurt me, I'm going to hurt you back. I'm going to make you pay for all that you said to me. I'm going to make you pay for what you did to me. You've hurt me, and I'm going to make sure you hurt just as much as me. But most of the time, when you get that spirit of vengeance, you want them to hurt more. Then they hurt you. And I can tell you that vengeance or a vengeful heart will stop at nothing to make sure that it gets the vengeance it's looking for. In other words, vengeance is one of those things that's like a runaway train. It may take a while over a period of time to stoke the engine and get it going and going and going. But once that thing really gets to moving, it just starts gaining speed and gaining speed and gaining speed. And there's no end to what you can do when you get a heart and a mind full of vengeance. When you get some particular person or some particular situation that's gnawing to you. And I've seen people, they'll stop at nothing, whether it's lying to assassinate their character because they want vengeance on those people so bad, or stealing or murder. People will stop at nothing. I was reading in one of Dr. Ruttman's commentaries, and this is what he said. I thought this was fascinating. He said that he was talking to a famous lawyer some years ago, and that this lawyer practiced law for 40 years. He practiced law for 40 years. And this is what this lawyer said, and I wrote it down word for word so I could give it to you. This lawyer that practiced 40 years of law said this. He said, if I were compelled to say in a single sentence what has impressed me most in 40 years of law practice, I would say that it is the shocking capacity that lies within the human heart for vengeance. After 40 years of going to court and trying cases, he summed it all up. He said, it's just shocking what is within a man or a woman's heart to seek vengeance. And I want to say, after 20 years of preaching and counseling, I say amen to what the lawyer says. There is no end to what people will do and what they'll try to get back at somebody they feel has done them wrong, they feel has hurt them, they feel has betrayed them, or thrown them under the bus or whatever. Vengeance is a very wicked but a very powerful spirit. Now I want to give you three things tonight about this subject of vengeance, and that'll be the message. And I'm not going to be able to raise my voice maybe as much as I usually do, and maybe not be able to spit three rows back and get mad, slap the pulpit. But you don't worry about the delivery. You need to get the content. This is an important subject, and I believe God put this right on my heart to preach. Number one, three things that we want to look at about vengeance tonight, and we'll go home. Number one, when you have to act, don't act in vengeance. When you have to act, and sometimes you will have to act, don't act because you don't have to act in vengeance. Let me give you a good example of this. Take your Bibles and turn to Matthew chapter 1. Real good example of this. Matthew chapter 1. And then you'll see what I'm talking about. Matthew chapter 1, verse number 18. Now, you remember the story of Mary and Joseph. And Mary and Joseph are espoused to be married. But before they came together, remember what happened? Mary was with child, conceived by the Holy Ghost, the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, Joseph hadn't been with her, and so they were supposed to be married as him a virgin, she's a virgin. But he finds out that she's pregnant. Now, it's not a likely story that a woman's going to come up to you and say, "I promise you, Joseph, I haven't done anything." Who's going to believe that? This woman is pregnant. There's only one way you can get pregnant. But notice how Joseph, listen, notice how he handled the thing. Verse number 18, Matthew 1:18. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise, when as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. She's pregnant now. Verse number 19. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man, he was a good man, Joseph, her husband, was not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privily. Do you know what that just said? This man is a spouse or engaged, as we would look at it in modern day, in modern times, to be married to a woman. She has come up pregnant. She, in his eyes, he doesn't understand what's really happened. In his eyes, has played the harlot. Now, he can make a big deal out of this thing and say, "You've embarrassed me. You betrayed me. You went out and played the harlot on me. I'm putting you away. I'm going to divorce you," because an espousal back then was a commitment just like a marriage. It's different back then than it is now. And he said, he could put her away publicly. He could have made a big scene out of him. He could have said, "Look what you've done to me. I'm going to get you back." And by the way, do you know what the penalty was under the law for adultery? Stone him to death. But the Bible says that Joseph was not a vengeful man. The Bible says that he was a just man. And he had to do something. You see, she had betrayed, she committed adultery. The marriage was over before it ever even really got started. So he had to act. Listen to me, church, don't lose me. He had to act, but he did not act in vengeance. He just went and he said, "This is what I'm going to do. She's played the harlot on me. The marriage is over, but he was a just man. I'm not going to make a public scene out of it. I'm not going to make her a spectacle. I'm not going to bring her before everybody and possibly have her stoned. I'm going to do it privately. I'm going to conceal the matter, cause her the least amount of embarrassment as I can, and go on with my life." Now, it seems like more than ever in the last 10 years, I've seen the most vengeance and hateful divorces imaginable. I see very few people that just divorce without trying to ruin one another. Now listen, I'm not for divorce. I'm not condoning divorce. I don't want people to get divorced. But I would say this. If something happened and you two just chose not to live together, or you couldn't live together, or you just something happened and you just would not stay together, I have more respect for a person that would just say, you know what? We're going to end this thing. You get what's rightfully yours. I'm going to get what's rightfully mine. We're going to go our separate ways. But it don't happen like that. I've seen spouses just go for the jugular, man. They don't want just to get away. They want to hurt them. They want to ruin them. They want to take everything they got and stick it in them. And I'm going to tell you something else. In the last 10 years, in my dealings, it seems like the women are the ones doing it the most. Take a little sip and you think about that. You know, years ago, it was known that if most sorriness was going to come from a man. I remember a time when ladies come around, men would hide their beers and stop their cussing. But they don't do that anymore. A woman drink a beer more than they will. Woman to cuss out, cuss them. I'm going to tell you, years ago, if you heard about an adulterous relationship, 9 times out of 10, it was that man cheating on his wife. It ain't that way no more. Women are playing the whore just like worse than the man are now. I'm going to tell you something. This society and this women's live movement has pushed women, and you do your own thing, and you don't worry about being a godly woman, and you don't need a man, and you get out there and make your mark in society, and don't care about everything. You just do what you want to do. And I'm telling you, women have come down on a level in some ways worse than the man. And you know you're living in the last days when women's, by majority, morals are just as bad as a man's. And I've said, listen, I've been involved in so many divorce and divorce situations. There's something, if somebody's done something to you and you can scripturally be divorced, that's one thing. Act. But don't act in vengeance. I've seen people go to court for unfair money and unfair alimony and unfair this and try to ruin their name and everything else. That's just a spirit of vengeance. Hope my voice will hold out to preach this. Yeah, people today, they don't want to leave. They just want to destroy one another. And so, listen, there may be times in your life where you have to take action of protection, maybe a legal action. You may have to go to court. You may have to deal with a threat or a problem. It's okay to act. It is not okay to act in vengeance. Joseph had a real situation there, and he had every right, based on what he knew, to put that woman away. But he had no right to do it in a vengeful, I'm going to get you back. Look what you did to me. I'm going to do it to you. And he was a just man. And that's the problem. When you and I are righteous people, living righteously, filled with the Holy Spirit, we don't have a vengeful spirit. But people don't want to do that. They act in vengeance. So you remember that. Number two. When it comes to vengeance, let's follow the example of Jesus Christ. I mean, the greatest example you'll ever follow in a fella that had every right in the world to seek revenge and didn't do it is the Lord Jesus Christ. And the thing that I like particularly a lot about Jesus Christ is he said one thing and then he did it. He practiced what he preached. A lot of people tell you what you ought to do. And I've heard people through the years stand up and talk about how they're going to stand up for God. And I do this and I do that. And that's my young and I do this. And I wouldn't put up with that until they get confronted with it. Then you find out what they're really going to do. But what Jesus Christ said you ought to do and what we ought to do, he did it when he was put in that situation. He didn't just tell us to do one thing and him done another, do another for what he said. He did it. Look at Matthew chapter 5. Now, this is what he says way before he ever gets to the cross. I know this is Sermon on the Mount and all that, but this is still good practical stuff we can use even for us in the church age here tonight. Matthew chapter 5, verse number 38. Matthew 5, verse number 38. Now notice what Jesus said. He said, "You have heard that he hath been said, an eye for an eye, tooth for a tooth. You poke my eye out, I'm going to poke your eye out. You knock my tooth out, I'm going to hold you and knock your tooth out." Except most of the time, vengeance won't just take one tooth, it'll take two. That's right. You done me this bad, vengeance says I'm going to do you even worse. He says, "You heard that it has been said, an eye for an eye, tooth for a tooth. But I say unto you that you resist not evil. But whosoever shall smite thee on thy right cheek, turn to him the other also." I don't believe Jesus is saying, stay there and let somebody whip up on you and you can't defend yourself. The teaching that he's given there is non-retaliation, non-vengeance. Because he starts that out there. You've heard it said, if you knock my tooth out, I'm going to knock yours, you know. You knock my eye out, I'm going to knock yours. He's teaching against vengeance. He's teaching against retaliation. That's what he said. "I say unto you that you resist not evil, but whosoever shall smite thee on thy right cheek, turn to him the other also. And if any man will sue thee at the law and take away thy coat, let him have thy cloak also. Whosoever shall compel thee to go a mile, go with him twain. Give to him that asketh thee, and from him that would borrow thee, turn not thy way." You know what he's saying? Look down there in verse 44. "But I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you." That's pretty rough, ain't it? What he's teaching is, you don't hate those people that mistreat you. With God's help, we can love them, but we're supposed to love them. And if you're having a hard time loving them, and you're having a hard time liking them, and you don't even want to be around them, you may have to pray a while about that and stay away from them. But the one thing you don't want to do is seek an avenue of vengeance. Amen. Now, if somebody comes up to me and he smites me on one cheek, and I turn another cheek. By the way, after you turn another cheek, you don't say what you do then. They say, "Okay, pal, I'm going to give you the other one." But after that, now you defend yourself. You get away. It's just like I was talking about a while ago. If you have to act, you act, but you don't act in vengeance. And that's what Jesus Christ said. But now what did Jesus Christ actually do? All right, 1 Peter. 1 Peter chapter 2. This is one of the greatest verses and text in the Bible on dealing with people and how to act toward people that mistreat you and abuse you and do you wrong. And listen, folks, listen to me. 1 Peter chapter 2. I don't doubt for a minute that some of you have been done very wrong. I don't doubt for a minute tonight that there's some people sitting in this church that if a human being had a right to hate anybody, and we don't, but if a human being did have a right to hate somebody, you would. I don't doubt that there's some people sitting here tonight that you have been mistreated and abused in a very bad way. I don't doubt that. But nobody sitting in this church tonight has been mistreated and abused like Jesus Christ. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse number 21. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse number 21. "For even hereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us," here it is, "an example that ye should follow in his steps." Notice what he says there. He says, "Christ suffered for you, and he left you an example to follow in his steps." What are those steps, Pastor? Next verse. Here's the steps that Christ left for you and I to follow. "Who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth." Listen. who when he was reviled, reviled not. When he suffered, he threatened not, but commended himself to him that judgeth righteously. You know what he said? He said when they were cussing him and mocking him and making fun of him, do you know what he could have done? We sing that song. He could have called 10,000 angels. That's a good song. And I like that song. But actually, that's not real. He didn't have to have 10,000 angels. He could have jumped out off that cross, sent everybody to hell, finished the whole thing off. But you know what he did when that bunch is mocking him and making fun of him? You know what he did? He said, Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. They were, listen, the very man that was saving their souls from hell, they mocked them. They cursed them. They spit on them. They plucked his beard. They beat him till his guts hang out. And his bones were showing. They put thorns in his head till his blood ran down in his eyes and his face. And that Bible says when he was reviled, he reviled not. And when he was mistreated, he didn't mistreat nobody. So if Jesus wants to talk to you about not being vengeful, and you say, Jesus, but you just don't know what this person does has done for me. Thank you. Thank you, David. You just don't know what this person has done for me. You just don't understand. Jesus Christ understands perfectly. And the Bible says it's following his steps. But here's the next part. Verse number 23. Who when he was reviled, reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judgeth righteously. He committed himself to God that judgeth righteously. You know what that means? That means that when all that was going on, Jesus just said, God, I know God judgeth righteously. He's the one that put me here. He's the one that's allowing this to happen. He's the one that ordained that I go to the cross for these people. God is a righteous, holy judge. And vengeance is the responsibility of God, not any man. And I'm going to trust my Father to take care of it. And folks, no matter how bad you've been hurt, no matter how bad it's been, that's the point that you and I are going to have to come to. Because if you don't, you'll be consumed and overcome by a spirit of vengeance, and you won't be good to nobody for nothing. You're just going to have to say, God knows about it. God is fair, and God is equal, and he's going to take care of the thing. He knows what needs to happen. God is the God of retribution, not us. Not us. One more point than that, which is what I just said leading into my final point. Leave the retribution to God. Amen. Leave it up to God. Turn your Bibles to Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12, which is probably to me what we're going to read now, the best section of Scripture on vengeance. From about Romans chapter 12, from about verse number 17 to the end of the chapter, is some of the best verses you'll read on the subject of vengeance. It really includes it all about what we're to do, about how we're to look at it, and about what God's going to do. It includes all of it. But you and I have to get to the point where we leave the judgment up to God. We leave the sentencing up to God. We leave the retribution up to God. And by the way, I'm sure that we've done and said things to others that could spark vengeance and revenge in their life toward us. We would hope they'd be merciful to us. Now, we surely wouldn't want somebody to be merciful to us and us not be merciful to them. Would we? We wouldn't have anybody in here like that tonight, would we? I would hope not. Romans chapter 12, verse number 17. Recompense to no man evil for evil. Do you hear that? First of all, he says, don't do evil for evil. Just because somebody's done evil against you, you don't recompense them, you don't pay them back with evil. Provide things honest in the sight of all men. Verse number 18, we are to do our best to get, sometimes you can't get along with everybody. Sometimes there's going to be problems, but we ought to do our best. It says, if it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. As much as you can. Now here we go, verse number 19. Dearly beloved, he's talking to saved people. I'm preaching to saved people tonight. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. And when he quotes that, he's quoting the Old Testament scripture. He's quoting Deuteronomy 32:35. Because God way back then told him, you don't seek vengeance, that's up to me. And he's saying right there, God says, vengeance is mine, I will repay. Listen, don't you worry about God taking care of the sinful actions of men. He'll take care of every sinful act that anybody's ever done against you. And he'll take care of yours too. He'll take care of all of it. Verse number 20. Therefore, if thine enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him drink, for in so doing, thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head. That's another Old Testament quotation. That's found in the book of Proverbs 25:21. He says, you put coals of fire on his head. You know one of the best ways, it appears, and you shouldn't do this because that's a spirit of vengeance, but one of the best ways you can get back at your enemy is just be good to him. See, if you be bad to him, you're going to be in trouble with God too. Just be good to him. And it says this, verse number 21, be not overcome of evil, but what? Overcome evil with good. Just because somebody treats you bad, you don't treat them bad. If they treat you good, you treat them good. If they treat you bad, you treat them good. In this society, if you scratch my back, I'll scratch yours. You keep your obligations, I'll keep mine. That's not how God says it. God says, this is what I've told you to do. This is the way I want you to live, regardless of anybody else, whether they keep their end of the deal or not. You keep your end of the deal. And if you've got a spouse that wrongs you terribly, if you've got a boss that wrongs you terribly, if you've got parents or loved ones that wrong you terribly, if you've got friends that throw you under the bus, if you've got people that cheat you and lie about you and gossip about you and stab you in the back and maliciously treat you and hurt you, and I don't doubt there's people sitting here tonight that's been abused in every kind of way imaginably, verbally abused, physically abused, sexually abused, financially abused. Don't worry. God will take care of it. But if you try to take care of it, he's going to take care of you. Now, just a few more things I want to say, and we're going to wrap this up tonight. We leave the retribution to God. And the deal is that we trust the Lord that he's going to take care of it. We follow the example of Jesus Christ. And when we do have to act in situations, we'd never act out of a spirit of vengeance. We just take care of what we have to do, just like Joseph did, and go on with our lives. Now, here's the problem with vengeance, and I'm getting ready to close tonight. But here's the problem with vengeance, and here's the problem with vengeful people. Vengeance, like many sins, one sin is usually connected to another. And if you see somebody that's got one problem in their life, that may be symptomatic of some deeper issues, or it may lead to other things. But I'm telling you, if you are a person here tonight with vengeance in your heart, even vengeance toward just one person in particular, if you're sitting here tonight with vengeance in your heart toward anybody or anything. There's other things that you've got going to come along with that. It's just like I have diabetes now. And then all these other things show up. And every time I go to the doctor says, well, a side effect of diabetes is this. Once you get diabetes, then because you have diabetes, you are susceptible to all other kinds of health problems. That's the way it goes. If you have a spirit of vengeance, first of all, you're probably a self-righteous person. Me? Not me. I don't judge. Yeah, you are. To the extent that you think your wrong deserves retribution. How they wronged you. But you don't even think of all the times you ran your mouth and you've put people down and you've hurt people and you've thrown people under the bus and you've gossiped and you've stabbed people in the back. If you're so eager for God to start handing down judgment, you better watch out. Because God's no respecter of person. When he starts handing it out, he may hand you out some too. Number two, that means also if you're a vengeful person, you are an unforgiving person. You probably have a problem with self-righteousness. You probably have a problem with unforgiveness. And God's not going to touch you with a 10-foot pole if you've got a spirit of unforgiveness. Which leads to another thing. You probably have bitterness in your life. The reason you are so vengeful and have that spirit of vengeance is you have developed a spirit of vengeance in you. Amen. And there's a root of bitterness in you. And you're bitter. And I'm telling you, then that means you probably have an anger problem. Not righteous anger, unrighteous anger. You probably, boy, if you could just pinch that person's head off and throw it in the river and get away with it, you'd do it. And then you probably are just a malicious person. Listen. I've heard of all kinds of things. All kinds of things. Burning the spouse alive. Running over them with a car. Cutting off certain organs. Doing ungodly, wicked things. And you say, that's not me, Pastor. I'm not going to run over my husband. Not on purpose. I'm not. Like I said earlier in the message, vengeance is a runaway train. Amen. Don't you say what you're going to do. You get that spirit of self-righteous that you just are so good and the fact that this person would mistreat you like that. And you develop that unforgiving spirit and you get that root of bitterness in your heart. And you get that anger and that maliciousness that I just wish I could get them back. I just wish I could kill them and nobody know about it. I just wish I could make them hurt and suffer like I've hurt and suffered. There's no end how the devil can grip your heart what you might say and do. I'm telling you tonight that what you need to do is give it to the Lord. We're going to have a hymn invitation in a moment. And I'm going to ask everybody here, invite them to come to this altar. And the first thing about vengeance is you've got to confess it. You got to be willing to confess it. Number two, you can't justify it. There's no justification for vengeance. I don't care what anybody's done for you or against you or to you, rather. You cannot justify it. Number three, you've got to say, God, I need your help. And I can't do it on my own. And then number four, you got to just say, God, I trust you. You said vengeance is mine. You said, God, I will repay. You said that you're going to take care of it. And I know that you don't let no sin. Nobody gets away with sin. Nobody, saved or lost. We do not get away with it. And just trust God, just like Jesus Christ did when he was going through all that. He trusted God that God knew the best. God judgeth righteously. He's going to do the right thing. And let God take care of it. Because if you don't get this thing out of your heart. Listen, I believe people go crazy. Loony. Because of this. Possessed with devils. Because of this. Lose marriages. And friends and family. Because of this. Jobs. Because of this. You better take care of this tonight. God's allowed me to preach this for somebody or somebody's. Would you please deal with it tonight? Head bow and eye closed. Even now, if God's speaking to anybody, heads bow and eyes closed. You need to come to the altar. Please do. I preach this tonight to help you. I preach it.